God, I ask that you would open our minds and our hearts so that through whatever fumblings I am presenting, that we would all hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So this week's Bible reading tells about the resurrection of a woman named Tabitha, also called Dorcas. That's a pretty big deal, somebody coming back to life. You don't find that happening all that often, not even in the Bible. But there is a lot more going on here. Let's begin. So Tabitha, who is a Hebrew woman, a Hebrew Christian, her name in Greek is Dorcas, and both of those words mean gazelle. I don't know if that's significant or not, if she looked like a gazelle, if she was sleek. I just know that that's what her name means. Other names have some significant meaning in the Bible. You know, like Jacob. You know, Jacob and Esau. Jacob means heel grabber. Anybody named Jacob here? And Esau means kind of like earthy man with red hair. Kind of like that. Some names have significant meaning. Dorcas, maybe. There is something significant about her name, Tabitha, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Tabitha was devoted to works of charity and good deeds. And when she died, the people she cared for thought there had to be some kind of mistake. How can she die? She does all this good. So they asked Peter to come immediately, and he did. And why immediately? Well, when someone's dead, you know, Lazarus, that was the third day he was in the tomb. But they didn't want her to be in the tomb, and the tradition was that somebody dies in the morning, by nighttime, they're in the tomb. They've had the burial already. So Peter had to come right away. Peter showed up very quickly. He prayed and told her to get up. And she did. And this resurrection miracle, you know, there are a few. I said that there aren't many, but there are a few resurrection miracles in the Bible outside of Jesus' resurrection. See, one of them is when Jesus raises Jairus' daughter. Any remember that story? Jesus is, he's on his way, you know, doing his speaking and talking and healing people. And someone comes up and says, "My daughter is very ill." And Jesus says, "Okay, I'll take care of that." And then a woman comes and touches Jesus, and she's been bleeding for years and years, and it kind of delays Jesus. She's healed, and by the time Jesus has gotten through all of that, this young girl, Jairus' daughter, is dead. Jesus arrives, and they're all crying, saying she's dead. He goes, "No, she's not dead. She's only sleeping." And he comes up, and he uses these words. He says, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And it sounds an awful lot like what Peter said to Tabitha. He said, "Tabitha, kum. Tabitha, get up." And when people heard those words from Peter, they would go, "I remember something like that. We've been talking about that. Talitha, Tabitha." They sound very similar. Tabitha means gazelle, but her name does mean something. It reminded people about the little girl that Jesus raised. And all of a sudden people say, "Peter is carrying on the work of Jesus. He's doing something very similar. And this woman came back to life just like the little girl came back to life." And then they think of miracles from the Old Testament, and they think of Elijah. And Elijah, he raised the son of a widow from Zarephath. It was in 1 Kings 17. And I remember that. He's carrying on the work of the prophet. And in 2 Kings 4, then Elisha, who followed Elijah, he brings back the son of a Shunammite woman. And they go, "I remember that. I remember Elijah. Elisha, Jesus did this. Peter is carrying on the work." And they were excited about that. Many people believed. And that's a big deal, because though Dorcas coming back to life, that was a big deal. The people realizing that Peter is continuing this work, continuing this holy work that was begun in the Old Testament, continued with Jesus. And we can think about that, we can look at that, and we can wonder, are we continuing the work of Jesus today? We're not doing resurrection, I know. But we can look at that and wonder, are we doing the work of Jesus today? And that resurrection, it's a big deal, but you know that there's more in this passage. The account continues the removal of exclusivity relating to God's love among early Christians. Why do I say that? Because Tabitha, also called Dorcas, was a woman. And it says right in the Bible passage, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha. And the word used for disciple, translated in just about every translation of the Bible, is, I don't even know if I can pronounce it right. Let's see. Mathetria. It's a Greek word, and it's the feminine equivalent of the masculine word for disciple, which is mathetes. And to have it be a feminine form doesn't mean that it's less of a word. You know how in some languages we have the feminine forms and the masculine forms of words? They just are that. It doesn't mean one is less, greater than. Tabitha was a disciple, just like Peter, Matthew, Thomas, John, James, Philip, Peter, Andrew, Bartholomew, the other James, Simon, even Judas and Thaddeus were disciples. Tabitha, Dorcas, was a disciple. Nothing less than that. She follows a tradition of strong leader women in the Bible, like Elizabeth and Mary, Mary Magdalene, Lydia, Priscilla, coming up later in Acts, and Tabitha. So there's one step toward the removal of an exclusion, because Tabitha is a disciple. But then there's another one right at the end. And why is that in there? You wonder, why? What's this talk about going to the home of Simon the Tanner? Well, Simon the Tanner was not accepted in the temple. Was not accepted as a... He could have been a believer, but he couldn't be accepted in the circle because he was a tanner. And back in the Levitical laws, it says that if you touch the dead flesh of an animal, you are unclean until sundown. You are ritually unclean. You are tova. You are an abomination until then. And so, since he touched dead animals every day, he couldn't be part of that community. But then Peter goes and lives at his house, kind of saying, you know what? He's part of the community. I'm living here. And even, is it worse than that? Even more than that, they're living in a town called Joppa. Anybody know where Joppa is? And you know the story of Jonah? Jonah and the big fish. Jonah did not want to go to Joppa, which is in Assyria. He said, those people are awful. I'm not going there. And he got eaten by the big fish and all that. Joppa was not loved by the Hebrew people. The Assyrians were not loved by the Hebrew people. They were kind of outcasts. We don't like those people from Joppa. But here's Peter in Joppa, living at the house of a tanner, bringing back a woman who was a disciple. Women, tanners, Joppans, I don't know what you would call a person from Joppa. Everyone is included in God's community. Nobody is excluded from God's love and God's welcome. And we can hear that and wonder, how are we at including everyone as we share God's love? Are we continuing Jesus' work today? How are we at including everyone as we share God's love? And then the inclusion of everyone, that's a big deal. Just like the resurrection's a big deal, but there's another nugget in today's sermon. Tabitha devoted her life to good works and acts of charity. She was living her life devoted to the two greatest commandments. We know them, right? The first one, love God. The second one, love others, love your neighbor. I don't know all of what she did, but here in today's reading, we do know that she cared for widows and she made clothing for them. And why is that important? Because widows lived at a high risk for not having a place to stay or food to eat. With no husband, often there was nobody to care for them. And I know in our culture today it's a little bit different, but you can think of who is at risk. Who is outcast? Who doesn't get anything? Who needs to be cared for? And we can hear that and say, how are we doing at reaching out to people in need? Are we continuing the work of Jesus? How are we at including everyone in God's love? And how are we doing at reaching out to people in need? Time for an abrupt transition. Ready? This summer, movie theaters are going to be showing sequels. Yeah. Lots and lots of them. This Friday, May 4th, what comes out? Spider-Man 3. May 18th, what comes out? Shrek the 3rd. May 25th? Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. June 8th, Ocean's 13. June 15th, Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. How many of you just got out your calendars to write down which movies you're going to go see? The sequels are arriving all summer long. There's more after that. On June 22nd, Evan Almighty opens up. You know what that one is? Yeah, it's the sequel to Bruce Almighty, the Jim Carrey film from 2003. And this time around, Evan, you know who Evan is? He's the guy that Bruce made talk with all the gibberish. He was the newscaster. Remember that? One of the funniest scenes in all of movies ever. How many do you think that? Really, I mean, it just made you laugh out loud. Jim's like, I didn't think that was that funny. I thought it was funny. But this time around, Evan, the newscaster, is now Evan, the congressman. And God comes and gives him a task. Evan has to build an ark to save humankind from a flood of epic proportions. And I haven't seen previews of the film. I've seen the trailer, but not privy to, you know, extra footage or anything like that. I don't know if it's going to be any good, but Steve Carell is really funny. I loved the first one. Who knows, though? The usual, you know, Hollywood comedy formula, I'm sure we'll go there. Like, you'll laugh at a lot of things. And Evan, there's in the previews that you can see just online, Evan, like, he shaves and his beard grows back, and it's really long, and every time he shaves, his beard grows back, kind of like the Tim Allen Santa Claus movie where he shaves and the beard grows back, so they took a little comedy from that. But the movie promises something else. Here's what it promises. It shows and encourages, through the filmmaking, through the movie, random acts of kindness. It's one of the missions of this movie. And as part of that kindness, and I'm sure as a way to market the movie to the church crowd, so that they'll have pastors like me standing up in the pulpit and mentioning this movie and talking good about it, see, just like that. It worked! Yeah, but Grace Hill Media, a Hollywood / Christian market company, Willow Creek Church, ever heard of them? Anybody? And Youth Specialties, anyone heard of them? Resources for youth workers. But those three groups have come together and put up a website that matches up needs of people with the talents and skills of others. I don't know if you need a website to actually do that. You could just say, you know, I've got a need and someone else has a talent or a skill. But this is something new to try, and it's targeted to churches. So right now, when you go home, or if you have your, anyone have your Palm computer with the wireless on it right here? No. You can go home and you go to our church website, unioncongregational-ucc.org. It's in the bulletin. And there's a little logo that says Ark Almighty. That's like Evan Almighty, but it's the Ark Almighty. And it's like everyone in the Ark. You click on that and it takes you to a page that says Union Congregational Church, United Church of Christ. And it says Add a Need. And you'll click there and it says Add a Need. And it'll come up some stuff where you put down your name and everything, which is kept private, but it goes into a database. And you say, I have a need. I don't know what that need is. And someone else can go to that site and see a need. Not your name, but they can see a need at the church. And then they can respond to that need and do it. In some ways it's anonymous, but obviously if needs and talents are getting matched up, then it's not completely anonymous. But the rest of the world doesn't get to see everything about it, just that there are needs and talents. And we don't really need a website to do that, you're right. You know, we can have a list that says, I have these needs, and people have done that over the years here. This is just another avenue, another, you know, technological advance that lets us do that. But you can go there, take a look at it. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of churches already signed up for this, and the hope is that by June that there will be many, many more. It's a good deeds program. Encouraging people to good deeds. You know what, it sounds like Hebrews 10:24, in that it becomes kind of a competition. You know, like the me first down here. That Hebrews 10:24 says this, and let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. A website like this, a challenge like this, can provoke us to love and good deeds. It's a way to respond to something like St. Francis said. Who knows who St. Francis is? St. Francis of Assisi. He said, preach the gospel and when necessary, use words. Have you caught all the challenges that are available for this week? Ask individually and as a congregation, are we continuing Jesus' work today? How are we at including everyone as we share God's love? And how are we doing at reaching out to people in need? And maybe this week, You can try a new opportunity for provoking one another to love and good deeds with that Ark Almighty website. If you go to our church website, you can click all through that and everything. All that from this little account, a somewhat unknown account of the resurrection of Dorcas, who spawned at least the name of many ministry groups at church. Ever heard of a Dorcas Circle at church? Anyone? Dorcas Circle is usually it's a group of women who are devoted to acts of kindness and good deeds. That's like our Sunshine Band. Some churches call it the Dorcas Circle. All that challenge, all that goodness, thinking about how we are responding to the needs of people, how we are carrying on Jesus' work, how we are including everyone, how we can hook up so that we are devoted to acts of charity and good works, not just in the church, but in the church and outside of the church. All that. And I wonder if at the resurrection of Tabitha, that if she had known all this, that she would approve. And that she would say, look at how this story can inspire. It's as if she, after being resurrected, she got up. And the fashion that it seems like she's characterized just from this little part. She noticed the needs around her. And said, there's still a little more to do. Let's pray. God, thank you for your love and your care. Thank you for challenging us to continue your work, to reach out to one another, to give, to receive with gratitude, to live in love. Amen.